3FM podcast.
You call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
How are you going today, Nicole?
I'm good, thank you, Kelly. How are you?
I'm good. There is a lot happening in Australia, so we're expecting quite the news bulletin from you. Is that true?
Firstly, I don't know if you heard about Uluru. The climbs are being banned.
We did. Yes, we did indeed. When's that all happening?
Yeah, so that's going to happen on October 26, 2019, which will coincide with the 34th anniversary of the return of Uluru to traditional owners.
I saw there was quite a large social media backlash from a lot of Australians about that.
Oh, really? Like, they wanted to still climb it?
Yeah, well, there was an article done by an Aboriginal from around that area, and they sort of had picked out quite a lot of, sort of social media backlash, I suppose, on that being closed down. But he interestingly pointed out that it was sort of like Buckingham Palace, I suppose. You know, you can come and see it, but you can't walk around inside it. Just like, that's what they would like to have for Uluru.
Exactly, yeah. I've heard comparisons of, like, it would be strange to climb, you know, the walls of a church. Because, it has, deep cultural significance for the Indigenous population.
Yes.
And this has been something that's been really going on for years in terms of they've been advocating to stop the climbing. And I know that when you go there, even a lot of tourism companies these days, we'd rather you just don't climb it. It's on all the brochures. So it really seems like it's a long time coming. I'm surprised that there's been such a backlash, really.
Is there quite a feeling from the government that this is something that really needs to be done?
Yeah, I think it's actually been something that they have, I guess somewhat surprisingly, when you think of some reforms that they don't seem to want to ever do.
Yeah.
It's been something that they've that's been sort of floating around for a while. It's definitely been an idea that seems like, it's just been a long time coming.
And also the power and electricity, has been shut off to the Manus Island compounds, and 600 men are refusing to leave.
Yeah, so I remember we talked a little while ago about that Australian-run detention centre closing, and that was generally accepted as good news at the time, but it's now looking a lot more complicated. These 600 men are refusing to leave, saying that they fear for their lives in the Papua New Guinean community.
Right.
And PNG themselves, their government, are reiterating that all refugees and asylum seekers who won't settle in PNG are Australia's obligation. And Australia basically isn't responding with any clarification.
So is there a kind of alternative accommodation for them?
The government is saying that there is alternative accommodation for them with food and water and medical services, but a lot of onlookers on the island have said that this accommodation is not ready yet. The UN has supported these claims by these observers. So, these assurances by the Australian government are been criticised for looking a little hollow.
Yeah. Do you think there will be any sort of action taken? I suppose there's been such a large sort of uproar from a lot of Australians about the kind of humanitarian aspect of this. Do you think the government's going to respond?
It seems like they are sticking with this hardline approach and will continue to, because they've if they backtrack on it, they will look inconsistent. I think that's their view. I think that they would be smarter to actually just backtrack, because it's just looking worse and worse, and it's becoming a bigger and bigger problem. And I mean, I think I heard that New Zealand would even take refugees, or they were offering.
I believe our new Prime Minister said that the offer was still on the table to take 150 refugees, but Malcolm Turnbull didn't want to take her up on that, because that meant that if they got New Zealand citizenship, essentially they could go into Australia and be residents there. So he turned her down on that one. So I suppose we'll see if that becomes a possibility. Interesting to see. Well, hopefully something happens soon, because 600 men refusing to leave, but there's no water or food or electricity. So,
right.
Yeah.
And of course, PNG themselves aren't even in a position really.
Exactly. Yes.
To, yeah. Take
them. And finally, former judge calls for a national anti-corruption watchdog.
Yeah, this is quite interesting. I actually didn't know that we didn't have a federal independent commission against corruption.
Yeah.
We have them in all of the states, and they've got quite, you know, sweeping powers, and they've taken down premiers in the past, so it's quite a good initiative.
Do you think he wants the job? That's why he's brought it up?
Perhaps. That's actually an interesting take, maybe. So, yeah, this former New South Wales Supreme Court judge has been working with these other former judges, saying that they're pretty sure that serious corruption almost certainly exists in federal politics.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's the thing about these commissions. You wonder, like, who watches them and...
Yes, you know. Yeah, exactly. Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think Australia needs that at the moment?
I think in terms of, like, funding-wise, there are many things that we should be spending money on. I'm not sure if this is a priority. I think that it's probably good. I mean, I like the idea of checks and balances.
Mm, yeah.
But then again, the politicians themselves have to push for it and have to create it.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. And you hope that it's somebody that is impartial and a good watchdog.
Exactly.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us again, Nicole. And hopefully we have some more information about the Manus Island stuff pretty soon.
Yes, definitely. Talk to you soon.
See you later.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.